the streets of Toronto to the backwoods of Bancroft. Here's your Moose Country Minute with Mark Bonikoski.
The fact that I once gave snowboarding a whirl doesn't mean I was any good at it. In fact, I stunk big time. For some reason, however, I believed it was suddenly come to me like a brain blitz, and that would turn me from a pitiful to suddenly being a star. It never happened. The reason I tried snowboarding was because I was also a lousy downhill skier. Unfortunately, my wife wasn't. I met her on the way back in the 80s on a jetliner. I was coming home from a newspaper assignment, and she was coming home from a ski holiday at Aspen. That alone should have given me nixing all thoughts about love of the heart and other such young person nonsense, but I hung in. When we went skiing to Collingwood in order for me to make nice, I suddenly told her I was going to leave my skis locked onto the roof of my car and try snowboarding. It was relatively new back then and looked simple. I thought of this when I heard the old news that Vermont's Jake Burton Carpenter, the inventor of the very first snowboard, had died last month of cancer at the age of 65. His early years were pretty lean until he designed the Burton snowboard, which is arguably now the world's best, in a company that grew to a billion-dollar business. Then snowboarding became an Olympic sport, and there was always a Burton board on the podium. That exposure alone made Jack Burton Carpenter a very rich man and a legend in the sport. Today, for the life of me, I do not know how the younger set, including my son-in-law, managed to be so damn good at it when I was such a dismal failure. Different genes, I guess. It's the only answer I can think of. For Outdoor Journal Radio, I'm Mark Bonikoski.
Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I'm Angelo Biola. He is Stephen Labadie, Derek Brandeo, Jessica Ellis. And, of course, as you probably know if you joined us at the top of the hour, I'm pleasured by having the company of our producer, Jonathan Winters, in the booth with me live and in person. You look even better live and in person than you do in radio.
Oh, they do. I have to think about that.
Yeah, for sure. That music means one thing and one thing only, that our in-house safety expert, Mr. Schlorf, has gone AWOL on us, obviously, because that music means that it's Inspector Chris Whaley on the phones from headquarters in Orillia. Good morning.
Good morning, Angelo. How are you?
I'm doing great, buddy. Fantastic.
Had our big Christmas. Because I know you had your Christmas party last night, so are you indeed doing great?
I'm doing fantastic. I was the poster child of perfect Christmas party etiquette and no abusing of anything.
For once.
What do you mean for once?
Good for you.
What kind of a comment is that? Did you hear that? He says for once. Anyways. Am I to now? See, I don't get it. So Schlorfy's on vacation, and he's gone AWOL all at once.
Yeah, he's taking a vacation from his vacation. He texted me earlier this week and said, "Listen, I have the trip of a lifetime. I can go out into the Gulf to do some fishing." Of course, most people know he's down in the Texas area, and he said, "Could you cover for me?" But I got to tell you, if you keep putting in the backup goalie, eventually everybody notices the backup goalie's not bad. Like, he's doing a pretty good job. So, Schlurf's got to be careful.
Well, okay, but there's two sides to that ugly coin, Chris. Talk to the Leafs about their backup goalie situation right now.
Fair enough.
All right.
Fair enough. But this is an exciting show for you because you got Winters right next to you, right?
Right.
Outdoor Journal Radio's version of Ed the Sock.
That's right. Thank you. I knew there was a similarity. I see somebody else agrees.
Have you got an important message for us this morning, Inspector?
You know, when you guys rise to the occasion,
I've heard that.
When you said you had the Christmas party last night, I assumed the only reason Winter is there is because you had it at the studio and he just happened to wake up on the floor and thought since he's there, he might as well get on the show.
Absolutely, buddy.
It was pretty close to the truth, but we don't need to go down that road, do we?
How you doing, man? What's going on up there?
Things are great. Things are great. Hey, listen, as you know, when I'm not on the air with you, I spend my time worrying about young Stephen Labadie, and I know he's going to the ice fishing expo later today. So
that's right.
I thought this might be a good opportunity to just talk about ice conditions as he's getting ready to do some ice fishing, or others that are getting ready to do some skating or some snowmobiling on the ice. Maybe we should talk about ice conditions.
Let's do it. Get on there.
Well, here's the thing. People have probably heard this expression. There is no safe ice. There is no way to assure that you're not going to run into trouble with the ice conditions. There's so many factors, whether it's, you know, the color. I've heard people talk about the color of the ice. The dark black ice is great. Yeah. No bubbles in it. That's very strong ice. If there's a current at all underneath you, or there's snow on top of the ice, or the weather conditions change, you just really can't be certain. So make sure that you check with your local emergency services. Fire departments are usually very good at collecting that kind of data on ice conditions. It's cool enough now that some of the smaller lakes might have some ice on them. But unless you've got, you know, for me, unless you've got a good 4 inches of ice, I wouldn't be out on top of it. Most people would recommend 10 or 12 inches for taking any vehicles out on the ice. I remember as a kid, of course, Ange, I grew up in Trenton and spent my winters on the Bay of Quinte. Yeah. And we walked around with our hockey sticks held horizontally so that if we fell through, you know, hopefully something on our hockey stick would catch us on the edge of the hole.
Wow, think about that, as a kid being taught by your parents. That's the way things were, though, back then. It taught by your parents, hey, make sure you carry that hockey stick horizontally, because if and when you go through the ice, you want to save yourself with that. Like, think of how cool that is, that we lived under those rules and conditions.
Yeah, well, I would add to that, my parents didn't know where I was. I would just say, yeah, I'll be back at whatever time, and they just counted on me being back.
Crazy, isn't it? Absolutely insane. Yeah. Hey, Chris, I was thinking when you were saying that, are there a lot of calls into the OPP stations about ice, you know, folks asking you about ice conditions?
Generally not, and that's okay. We would, you know, the communication center is for reporting emergencies. We can connect you with the with people that would know the answer to that. OFSC trails, if it's specific to snowmobiling, they always have great information on the trail conditions, including where the trails cross the lakes. In terms of snowmobiling, the data just is overwhelmingly supportive of the OFSC trail system in terms of fatalities. If you are on an OFSC trail, if you're actually on the trail, the fatalities are significantly lower than the snowmobile fatalities on a frozen lake. The vast majority of fatal snowmobile crashes happen on frozen lakes as opposed to the groomed OFSC trails. That's the safest spot if you're going to snowmobile.
Yeah, and as far as getting information on ice conditions, I think one of the best places, one of the best resources for that are the operators, right? The people who are in the business, the ice fishing business, whether it's the local tackle shop or the ice hut rental place. They're the ones who know minute by minute, and they're the ones that you should, you know, contact first to get that kind of info. They're not going to put you out on unsafe ice. That's the bottom line.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
That's the most important thing. You know?
Yeah, that's a great point, Ange, because they are the experts on the local conditions for sure.
Yeah. So, anyways, I don't know what it's like up there, but down here, the last thing on our minds right now is ice, because it truly is like an April shower day today. It's unbelievably warm. The snow is pretty much, I'd say, 99% gone, and it's raining. It's crazy. So
yeah, it's been a very deceptive fall, and that's my concern, is that we've had these spurts of cold or snow, you know, just enough to put a skim of ice on the lake, and then just enough snow to hold up the perception that the lake is frozen, right? So people make risky decisions about going out on the ice. And, again, as a kid, I remember going along with an ice chipper and banging that steel rod on the ice to see how much ice was there. And, you know, eventually that goes it goes through the ice, and you realize you're standing on, you know, an inch of ice and have to backpedal off the ice. So, it's just too risky right now.
All right, my friend, we will stay on top of it. Appreciate you coming in and filling in once again. And you're right. You're right. When the backup goalie gets a lot of performances under his belt, he eventually could be looking at a starting position. So I just want Slorfy to remember that. I agree. Exactly. I agree with you, buddy.
Yeah, thank you, Mike. Socks, that guy.
Hey, Chris, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, John. All the best to you, my friend.
Thank you, buddy. I'll talk to you soon. You take care of yourself.
Always appreciate your time, Ange.
Chris Whaley, inspector with the Ontario Provincial Police, filling in for our in-house safety expert, Bradley Slorf, who apparently is out in the Gulf somewhere.
He's fishing for red snappers, what
fishing
he told me.
Fishing for red snappers. Good for him. Hopefully he'll have a positive story about that next week.